Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast for nannies by me, a nanny. My name is Martha Reddick, and I am your host. This week, we are going to be talking about sibling rivalries, and for that, I have brought in an expert on that subject, Taryn Pryor. Hello, Taryn. Welcome.
Hello, Martha. Thanks for having me. Super excited to chat.
Wonderful to have you here. Great. So before we get started talking about sibling rivalries, I would love to have a little bit of background about you and where you're coming from.
Of course. So I have nannied for a wonderful family for the past 3 years, and they have two daughters, one who is turning 5 in a couple of days, and another daughter, younger daughter, who turned 2 back in July. So okay. They are 2 years and a little bit of change apart. And like I said, I've been with this family for 3 years. I'm currently working on my master's in early childhood special education. So that's always really helpful when thinking of strategies of how to, you know, work with the girls and how to get everything done.
Yeah, I bet that would be super helpful. We probably will have you back on to talk about some of those strategies.
Yeah, I'd love to.
At a different point. But anyway, wonderful. And you have been in Chicago for how long?
I've been in Chicago since 2012. So I was a career changer. I graduated from Indiana University, and I got a business job just to, you know, kind of get out there and get my feet wet, and decided it wasn't for me. And then I started nannying, and then I went back and got my master's. Or I'm getting my master's currently.
So. Yeah. So the little ones stole your heart.
They did. You know, I always wanted to be a teacher, but I think I had convinced myself I didn't. And it's funny how things kind of come full circle. So you should never deny your talents, what you're interested in, because I feel like you end up there anyways. So whether it takes you 5 years to get there or 15 years to get there. So yeah. I'm just happy to be where I am now.
That's a really good point. And probably one that is good for a nanny to have of like, hey, kids, don't push down these wonderful talents that you have.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure as they get older, I'm sure you will remain friends, especially you've been with them for 3 years.
I honestly can't like imagine life without them. So
so as they get older, I'm sure you'll be like a cool aunt type figure of what
That's
do I
like,
do?
That's kind of like a strange like feeling to imagine them as teenagers.
I know, right?
You know, I tease the dad a lot, but you know, it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Yeah. And I mean, I still keep in touch with my two nannies from when I was little. So. Yeah, it's great. Anyway, let's get back to sibling rivalries. And this is a particular subject that I am interested in hearing your views on because, one, I am an only child. So growing up, I didn't necessarily have that sibling rivalry component ever. I observed it in other kids, but
Definitely different to experience it.
For sure. And then the other thing is that I have actually nannied for several sets of twins, which is its own beast.
Completely.
And we will do an episode about twins for sure. But so that's, and their rivalries are just different in nature.
Very. I mean, the whole twin relationship is something that's very unique. It's something a very small sect of the population can even relate to.
Right.
So, you know, it's definitely its own conversation.
For sure. Question that I would love to start with, because Taryn and I also participate in a nanny play group sometimes together. So I am familiar with the children that you're talking about, and you're familiar with the children that yes. I'm currently nannying. And so I would love some advice on helping an older sibling, one, prepare to be a big brother or a big sister, or if you're coming in and they already are a big brother or a big sister, but they're struggling with that job title.
Okay, so for me personally, the family I am with, I was nannying for the oldest child first, and then there was a pregnancy, and then the child, the next child was born. So I think there are a couple of really great things that you can do. So talking about the, you know, child in vitro as it's growing, like really conversing with your eldest child about like what's happening, what they can expect. You want them to know that there's going to be another human being in addition to the family, another playmate, someone to love, someone to talk to, sing with, play with. You want to frame it in a really, really positive way, and the ways that it is going to change your family, but for the better. And it's little conversations that you can have over the period of 9 months. So when the baby is born, it's not this, oh my gosh, this is like it's a human. This is another person that's in this space in my life. Another really popular thing to do is give a present to the older sibling from the baby. And I think that that can be absolutely wonderful because it sets like a nice tone. Oh, this is what the baby gave you. They're so excited for you to be their big brother, big sister. But I think in addition to that, and what can even be even more important, is really carving out a space or a job or like a niche for the older sister or brother. Because what a lot of the feelings they might be feeling is left out. They don't know how they fit into the family. Of course, they may know that you still love them, but you know, there is another human being that's going to need a lot of your time, a lot of your attention, and they just might feel a little lost. So if in all the things you're doing, I mean, feeding, changing clothing, there are even just the smallest ways of involving the older sibling, it can make a world of difference in making them feel included.
Right. And another thing that I have noticed is when that younger sibling comes along, they are doing things that the older sibling literally just finished with, you know, so that getting bottle fed or getting potty trained later on, things like that, that they kind of miss. You know?
Yeah. It feels good, you know, to be like nurtured, to be babied. And there might be some kind of longing that goes through that. But if you frame it, and you know, they'll hopefully be receptive to it. But it may take time, persistence, you know, consistency of giving them a job or helping them or, you know, something that my girls really like to do is they like to keep each other company in the bathroom, which, you know, may sound like a little strange, but the older, you know, the younger sibling is expressing interest. And, you know, right now we're just, when she's interested, we go in there, but she's very into, well, you know, I don't want her to be lonely and I'll sit in there with her and like, I'll show her how to get the toilet paper. She's really thrived on being able to show her younger sister, well, this is how it is done. Let me give you some pointers. When the youngest child was younger, I mean, she's still in diapers, but when she was younger, they got step stools. So she could be, the oldest child could be right there with you. And so I would maybe ask her, hey, can you hand me a wipe? Or just little things like that to make them feel included, to give them a job, something to feel proud about, something to take ownership for. So it's not so much like, oh, this, you know, that's my sister. That's my sister and I do these things for her and I'm so proud to have her, you know?
Yeah, that's really great advice. And then I also think there's room in that for praising how well they do something.
Oh, absolutely.
Of like, oh my gosh, you eat all your vegetables every time. Can you help your younger sibling learn how to eat all of their vegetables every time? Or you pick out the best books.
Oh, yeah. I feel like a big kind of buzz phrase I'm always using is, can you please set a good example? Or, you know, your younger sister does. She sees you and you're so big and you're so cool. You do these things. So she just mimics or she does exactly what you do. Can you set the example? Can you show her how a big girl acts? Like how, you know, how a big kid does it? And, you know, that always like kind of little bit of pride, you know, stands up a little straighter. You'd be surprised how much kids like really want to take pride in their work or what they're doing.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've seen that 100%. That's really great advice. How about some like bonding activities, especially when there is, like you said, it's 2 years and some change. Mm-hmm. And my kids are almost exactly 2 years apart. In fact, all of the siblings that I've had have been almost exactly 2 years apart, like a week or a month away.
Wow.
Yeah, weird. But and if there is this large gap in what they can, what the younger sibling is able to do, like,
oh yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. I think probably one of the most difficult challenges can be if there is like that 2 year gap, because, you know, what is this toddler who is just starting to master running and walking and climbing things? And then, oh, there's a baby. The right. baby can't do anything. So I think it's a lot of meeting each other in the middle and kind of framing, well, you know what? We're going to do an activity that is kind of the baby speed. You see what the baby can do. So whether that's playing on the floor, and actually with the siblings that I nanny, I had a lot of success in involving the older sibling in tummy time or in floor play, like having her pick out the toys, you know, like showing her, hey, can you shake this to the left? We want her to turn. We want her to practice turning. Can you shake this to the right? She actually got very into it, but definitely varying up like kind of the play when maybe they've like kind of left the baby stage and, you know, they're like holding on to things. I found that water play can be something really, even if it's just like in your sink, and you may have to support the younger child, but all children of all ages like getting their hands wet. And it can be something as simple as just putting like small plastic cups or just like the small like kids cups into like a sink of water, and I promise you they will have a ball with it. You can get I know Legos are a big thing, but they're a huge choking hazard for younger children. So Legos come in a variety of sizes, but if you get those like really really big Legos,
the like even, Duplo,
yeah, even the bigger kids love building with those, mm-hmm. because then they're easier to kind of like knock down. We played a lot of, we still to this day play a lot of Godzilla.
Oh yes,
it's a big favorite in our household, you know, building things up, knocking them down. I think it definitely needs to be child interest led, so just kind of seeing what maybe one is into and just where you can meet in the middle, where you can modify the activity so both are involved at least in some capacity.
Right. And then as they get older, at least I have found letting the older sibling also play on their own. And really framing that in a way that's like, this is your time that you get to go, especially once they enter kindergarten.
Oh, yeah.
Because when they come home, I found that that's a lot when the fights happen. If there are going to be fights, it's kind of,
they've been at school all day. They're tired. There's so much stimulation, and they get home and it's just like,
all of my frustration can be taken out on you, and you can't do anything about it.
Yes. I think a solo play is, I mean, that can be a whole nother conversation, but I think that is very, very important. And in empowering and teaching the older child that they're totally okay to play with themselves. It's wonderful to have a playmate, but it's not always necessary. And it's also a great like kind of self-regulating, calming technique is to know like, this is my corner. I have these toys. I'm going to go play with them. And then you'd be surprised what maybe even 10, 15 minutes just by themselves will do, and they'll be ready to come return to the group or just be involved.
Right. Yeah. I I totally agree. And that solo play, I have found, also has told me a lot about the older kid, what they choose to do that time. When I say, this is your time, you get to go do whatever you
go
want.
Go bananas. Go crazy.
Yeah. as long as you're not hurting yourself or anyone else, that's what I would say. You can do whatever you want.
It's always good to give parameters.
Yep. You got to stick with that golden rule of just don't hurt yourself or anyone else. Great. What is your advice for when one sibling is acting out constantly and then maybe blaming it on the younger sibling?
I have to say, I feel like I am still knee deep in this
yes,
question
as am I.
And still trying to really figure out what's working. So I feel like that's kind of like a two-parter. So we definitely have had a lot of episodes of acting out and, you know, just doing things that, you know, she knows the eldest child knows are against the rule, knows that are unacceptable. So I think a couple of things that we've done is just talking with the parents, like, these are the behaviors that I'm observing after this, or like in response to this, what are you seeing at home? Is it the same or is it different? Because if they're acting one way with you and one way with the parent, then that can let you know, you know, that gives a little bit of insight. But just taking really a united front, I feel like, with the parents. So when she does this, this is the consequence. Explaining it and then maintaining consistent. If you say it, you have to do it.
Right.
So in some ways that has helped nip some things in the bud where she's, you know, seen like, oh man, like whether I do this with mom or dad, you know, it's no different than if Taryn's home, you know, like, oh, like mom and dad, you know, are going to know. Right. And I like constantly remind her, like, I talk to mom and dad throughout the day. So whatever you're doing, like they know,
right.
You know, there's no like hiding it. I always tell them. Another thing I found, the oldest is really big into, well, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. Like really like a lot of the tattling, trying to get the other in trouble. I have noticed some kind of, I see out of the corner of the eye, the eldest did something and she blames it on the younger. So definitely explaining the difference between tattling and telling. Like, what is something? Telling is something that I need to know. Someone is hurt. Something is broken. You need my immediate attention. Someone's on fire. You know, there's danger. I need to know that, or someone's acting in a dangerous way. Telling is more narrating. You're kind of, you didn't like something and they, you know, they did something and you just want to tell me. You're just trying to get them into trouble because it's not something I've seen. So I know in one classroom, they kind of had like a tattling telephone. They like made this little telephone booth. And when you felt like you needed to tattle, you just went into the booth and like talked on the phone and just chit, chat. we haven't gotten to that point, but you know, maybe let's do a follow-up in a couple of weeks. We might be there.
That's a great idea, too, because one of the families that I have nannied for had a landline phone. And
Retro.
And it never rang, ever, because they didn't give out that number to anyone. But it was there in case
emergencies. You know,
and they also, their grandparents were there a lot, and grandparents leave cell phones.
They're because, not into it.
Right.
It wasn't their thing.
But that is a really good use, perhaps, of that phone.
Yeah, and people have, like, it can really look like anything. People have, like, extra phones lying around. It can be a fake, like, phone that you have. It's just really giving an outlet to, like, get that out, to tell someone, to say it, because that can be very powerful, verbalizing what you're feeling or, like, you know, well, that was wrong, or, you know, I feel like that was wrong, and, like, I want to tattle, or I want to tell, like, that this is going on. But the stance I've kind of taken with the girls is that I cannot and will not break up every single fight between you.
Yes.
You know, there are some that you're going to have to work it out yourself. And if the two of you can't work it out, then the toy in question is mine. And, you know, if there's like yelling and screaming on both ends, if you can't end it peacefully, both of you are getting a timeout. So kind of doing, you're all in this together.
Yes,
so either you figure it out together and you succeed together, or if you don't, you fail together. So mm-hmm. I feel like kind of anchoring them to each other and really tying their success or the reward or the toy or the whatever to the other one gives a lot more incentive to, well, let me be honest. Let me learn to like let things roll off my shoulders, learn to be the bigger person, be the older sibling. We use that buzz phrase a lot, like, you know, can you be the bigger person? Can you be the older kid? Like, can you forego your turn and let her go first and then you get the next turn? Mm-hmm. I found like some maybe like 50-60% success rate in that. And it's also going to depend on the child and really just kind of playing around with these strategies and see what works for you personally and for your family and for the children that you're nannying.
Right. Something that I have found success with, especially with telling the older child this, a lot of times they'll say, I want that toy. And I will say, you are going to probably get that toy a lot more often if you come with a different toy and say, I would like to play with this toy. Would you want to play with this toy instead? Or something like that.
Giving an option. Oh, yeah. Instead of like, hey, I want this. And then you can have nothing.
Exactly.
That's not an attractive choice.
Right. And so I've told the younger sibling that, but he's a little too young to grasp it. But
still getting there.
Yeah, he's getting there. But yes, just I always say, like, if you were asked to give up a toy with nothing in return, would you do that? And they're like, no. And I'm like, exactly. So bring a toy and even think about, what does your younger brother go to more often?
Oh, yeah.
Like, coming with the guitar that he loves playing with is going to give you a higher success rate.
Absolutely.
Of getting whatever toy you
That's
want.
That's a great strategy.
Yeah. I found a lot of success with that. As for you mentioned, like, as it escalates sometimes, violence between siblings, which I really actually haven't ever experienced that.
So the youngest has gone through, I wouldn't call it a biting phase, because I think all toddlers are curious. Right. They don't quite understand like pressure, pain, like these are my teeth. These really hurt, you know, because they've never really experienced being bitten. Mm-hmm. But I do think some of what we were experiencing was because the oldest was being really dramatic or like kind of laughing along with it and then coming to me like, oh, Taryn, she bit me. You know, you would think I had to perform surgery on her arm the way she was acting. So I think it, again, just comes to consistency and just, mm-hmm. I hate to say like a zero tolerance policy, but once it escalates, like they need to be removed apart. The child in question like needs to calm down. Mm-hmm. And then you can have a conversation on, these are the reasons why that was inappropriate. These are the reasons why you have had to be taken out. And I mean, really just, I feel like staying consistent. Like if you say like, if you bite one more time or if you kick one more time, you have to give that consequence and really follow through, even if that's not the most convenient thing for you, for your day, for just your ease, for, you know, because you have to deliver on your promise. And so that they don't keep upping the ante and seeing like how far that they can push you. So I really think if you nip things like that in the bud and nip them early, and if it does escalate, like kind of coming down, I hate to say coming down swiftly, but just having a concrete, clear consequence and having a conversation of why that was inappropriate and putting themselves in the other's shoes. But yeah, you know, some days are definitely just a little bit of a battle.
Yes.
Some days are better than others.
And we have, in the nanny group that we play in, one of the nannies, I remember we were all really proud of him, a manny, who said, like, if this happens one more time, and it was stealing a toy, I think.
Yes.
If this happens one more time, we are leaving. And he stuck with it and did it. And I know that he saw some change in behavior because he stuck with that.
I've only had to do it a couple of times. And oh boy, like once we went somewhere and we hadn't even been there for that long, you know, and you have all your bags and the stroller and all of this, and you know, and then they push you. And so those are the times when it's really important to stay strong, stick consistently, and stick to what you said. Words are powerful. Words have meaning. And you have to stick to your word. And so although it may not be convenient and it can be a total pain because you're like, I just carried all of this. Now I have to lug like two back in the car. It sends a very, very like
serious
and powerful message.
I agree. And showing them that you are true to your word, I think also sends a powerful message about the bond between you and the child of if I say something, it is going to happen, good or bad.
So true.
So that when you do say, if you do this, you get a reward, they know that you will also honor that.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. Great. How, and you might not have experienced this. I actually haven't experienced this, but what if you are working for a family that clearly favors one child?
I have not had this experience. That just sounds really unpleasant and can probably put the nanny in a very uncomfortable position.
Yeah.
I think my suggestions would be to definitely speak to the parents mm-hmm. privately about it and just say, hey, like, I don't know if you notice, but, you know, if it's like maybe they're not getting the same punishment for a situation, not getting the same praise for like a success or doing something. Sometimes parents may not even realize like, right. Oh my gosh, I'm being unfair. Like I'm not treating them equally. Sometimes just like verbalizing it and pointing it out. They have so much going on.
Yes.
And like when they get home, you know, it's 5, 6, 7. I mean, they're really just trying to keep the peace and survive for the night. So they may not be like mentally taking notes. They may just not even know. So that would be my first piece of advice. And if that doesn't work, then, I mean, just having conversations, always treating the children as equally as you possibly
yes.
can. But I do have to say the one thing I always say to my kids, any kids I work with, that fair is not always the same.
Yes.
Fair does not always look the same because we are different people. People need different things. But you know, if you have always like had a history of like being very fair with them, if they're in situations where, you know, like, well, that's not fair, that doesn't look right, you know, fair doesn't always look the same.
Right.
And that's, I think that's a very important distinction to make with children from very young.
I agree. And I think that helps them be better citizens of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And one thing that I have observed before, not in a family that I nannied for, if any of my families are listening, but in the world, is differences based on gender, that children are treated differently. The boy is held to different, higher standards than the girl, which is unfair to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an example of where that fair doesn't look the same, but that's also just not fair.
That one is so hard because I feel like gender norms, gender, you know, stereotypes, gender roles can often very deeply be
yes.
rooted in culture, in religion, and you don't want to step on any toes or offend anyone. That can be a really kind of hard one to navigate, to like get through. And I think maybe definitely communicating, like I think communication, not the key to everything, but I mean, it's definitely like the first stepping stone. If you can say like, hey, like I noticed that you do this for Johnny, but not for Betsy, you know, maybe the parent can support, well, in this household or like in our religion, like this is what we believe, this is what we do. And I mean, you can even counter with things that, you know, you will meet different communities. You will be mm-hmm. a participant, a citizen, if you will, of different communities. And you can even say like, well, would you mind like when I am with them that we do things equally? You can kind of navigate the situation
right.
from there. But I think just definitely having a general awareness, being willing to conversate and come from a place of respect.
Yes, I completely agree. And that is an issue that I do think is really between you and the parents.
Absolutely.
Much more than you and the children.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. Definitely a conversation you want to have with alone with the parents, or maybe over the phone through an email, not with the children. You know, because the children, they might be aware, but maybe they're not aware because, again, like it's something rooted in their religion or their culture. So they're, you know, it's normal for them and they don't need you to point something out that, you know, that is their norm, that is part right. of their culture. So, you know, definitely, like you said, keep that conversation with the parents. Great point.
How about siblings that are fine most of the time, like when they are individually at home, they're fine. But if you take them to a play date, especially a play date where one of them has a really close friend and the other one might not be as close with the sibling that's supposed to be, you know, kind of also playing for them, or if it's a play date where there isn't a younger sibling. And so then it's, you know, two older siblings that are running off playing together at their level.
I've definitely run into that. So I think one of the best strategies I've encountered with that is helping, whether it's two older with a younger or two younger with an older, helping them see a place where the other can fit mm-hmm. into their game, because sometimes, you know, they get so caught up and let's do this, let's do that, that they're not even really thinking about the other people that are there. But if you point out to them like, hey, so-and-so would like to play, but you're playing on a part of the jungle gym that, you know, that's a little too big for them. Can we play just a running game, or can we play on this part of the playground? You know, just kind right. of helping them see the little windows or the ways that the excluded sibling can be involved. I have found some success with doing that strategy.
Yeah. I've also, something that I've run up against is the one of the siblings is playing a game where they make the other sibling a bad guy. And so they're like, we're gonna catch him and put him in jail, and just reframing that for them.
Oh, of, yeah.
Let's pick a game that it's not you against your sibling. Let's yeah. pick a game where it's you against something made up, or I'll be the bad guy for you
oh,
guys.
Oh, yeah. Definitely putting them on the united front, or
yes. you
know, having them some like be on the same team, same side. That's a really, really great point, because that is isolating.
It is.
And probably not fun for the odd one out.
Yeah. And the odd one out often doesn't have the language to say, no, I don't want to be the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
they're not old enough yet to make those feelings known, but they clearly don't want to be. And they also can't run as fast, so it's like they get caught every time. I feel awful for them. So I'm like, oh, you just spent your whole playtime in jail. No, I've never let it get the whole playtime. It's gone on for like 5 minutes. Once I get caught once and put in jail, done. I don't let them go to jail very often.
Poor odd one out.
I know. Poor little guy. Wonderful. So I have these two siblings that they sometimes fight between each other, but their okay. bond is so strong that even if one of them does something that is against the rules, the older sibling will like stick up for the younger sibling in such a protective way. She'll be like, no, you can't send her to timeout. It wasn't her fault.
Oh, boy. So that's a very interesting situation. Yeah. I mean, like, that is great that they have a bond like that, you know, that they're thick as thieves, because that will be needed later in life, yes. is sticking up for one another. So, of course, you don't want to diminish the importance of that relationship.
Right.
But maybe maybe directly after whatever the incident, whatever has happened, is just separating them.
Yes.
Immediately saying, you know, before like anyone starts saying, you're in trouble for this, blah, 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 whatever. Just set, you know, this happened, so you're going to wait in this room and you are going to wait in this room, and I am going to talk to X first, and why you need to wait in this room. If you don't wait until I'm done, then, like, you know, the consequence right. is going to be increased. And then I think just talking to them separately so the other can't influence the other's thoughts or like kind of chime in, that's definitely a big thing that we work on with the older sibling is, you know, because sometimes if you are like doling out a punishment or a consequence, it doesn't even have to be to her own sibling. She'll just kind of be like, yeah, and that's not what you're supposed to, you know, in either direction. And just kind of, you know, I have like really told her like, hey, like, I got this. I'm the adult. I do not need you to chime in. You are not in charge of anyone. You are not giving out punishments. You are not giving out rewards. You are just you in your world. And that is what you're responsible for. And so I think definitely separating them can like literally physically, so they cannot see each other. Like, I don't want to say an out of sight, out of mind thing, but they'll probably be less likely to chime in or stick up for the other, you know, like lay their body across a sacrifice for the other, you know, if they can't really see each other, or if you're able to have like a private one-on-one conversation,
which is what I have found success with, not necessarily separating them right away, but saying like, okay, I'm gonna talk to this child now and you need to go find an activity to do, especially if it is one sibling that I need to talk to. If one sibling did something not against the other sibling, but just did something that is against the rules.
Oh, yeah.
So that is something that I have found success with. But I just wanted to bring it up because it's such a strange, and it wasn't one of the twins, because I would kind of figure that maybe for twins, that twin bond. But they're about 2 years apart, and one of them she's such a good big sister.
I mean, again, like, ownership, something to be proud of, to really like do a great job of. I do have to say the two that I nanny for, they do a great job of introducing the other. This is my sister. My sister so-and-so. Like, I mean, really to anyone and to new friends. If one is kind of more timid, the other like kind of tugs on the other. They always give like really great introductions. And if you meet one, you know about the other, whether they are present or not. And I think that's like, that's something so wonderful that I love about the two of them.
That is. And, with a couple of boys that I nanny for, one of them, now they both walk into school together. And before, the parent or the nanny would walk the younger one in. And so now the younger one, when I pick him up, will sometimes say, I hold my brother's hand on the way to school.
That's just adorable.
The cutest.
I love seeing really positive sibling relationships, because, you know, I have two older brothers and, you know, like, we are thick as thieves. I'm very, very close to my brothers, and my brothers are 29, 32, and we've really kept a really tight bond into adulthood, and that can be something really special, but it's something that started when we were very young. I remember my parents they took a sibling rivalry class.
Oh,
like,
really?
It was offered at like the hospital or something, you know, when my middle brother was born. He definitely like had a real hard time when I came around. My poor parents. But, you know, it ended up working out because, you know, to this day, you know, 20 something years later, we're very, very close. So
Well, definitely good on your parents.
Laying the groundwork definitely pays off. Living proof.
That's wonderful. Wonderful advice. Taryn has brought us a beautiful story, a really adorable story today.
There is never a dull moment in my life, or in my car for that matter. So like I had said, I nanny two girls and we spend a lot of time in the car. And I do have like a musical background, a theater background. So I love to play different genres of music. And we all know that little kids love the word booty. And at one point I had told them about this song, Casey and the Sunshine Band, you know, shake, 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 shake your booty. So they love that song. So one day we're on the way to the oldest school and I put that song on and the youngest goes, Taryn, can't shake my booty. And I'm like, well, why can't you shake your booty? I in car, can't shake my booty. I shake my booty at home. And so, you know, I'm like cracking up in the front seat and I'm like, you can shake your booty in the car. No, can't shake booty. I in car, shake booty at home. And that's exactly what she did when she got home. Oh, they are just so funny. So and just so cute. And she literally talks exactly like that.
Yes.
It is
yes,
so
does.
Comical. It's so funny.
That's
she's the
adorable.
Best.
Well, thank you so much for coming
oh,
and being on the
podcast. Oh, thanks
so
much for having me. I love talking about this stuff.
Awesome. All right. Well, and thank you all for listening. Please feel free. We do want to start having stories from audience members, from our listeners, as those stories at the end. I would love to start sharing some of your all stories. So if you have a story, if you listen to those stories and you're like, oh my gosh, my kid said the funniest thing the other day that I nanny for, please email those in to chroniclesofnania@gmail.com and I will read them on the podcast. I will never share the child's name. Please don't even include the child's name. The age is helpful. And then if you would like your name read, please feel free to include your name in that email. You can also share those on our Facebook group, the Chronicles of Nania. You'll find us if you just type that into Facebook, or on Instagram or on Twitter, all of which are found at Chronicles of Nania. So please feel free to share those stories. I would love to start having some stories from listeners, because this is a community that we're building of nannies, and I want to extend it past just Chicago. So wonderful. Thank you so much for listening.
The Chronicles of Nania is produced by Martha Reddick and Logan Nielsen. Artwork and logo by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.